Gentlemen, let us carry on in Hilchas Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. We started the discussion yesterday a little bit about the Golias Oisin Shnei Yom Tovim Misofek and the background behind it. We also started on the topic of the potential punishments of somebody who doesn't keep today's Yom Tov. We learned the two possible punishments that may be given. The Bezdin sometimes wishes to give a Bezdin of excommunication. Alternatively, the second option of a punishment is the lashes. We discussed yesterday that lashes is the lower level punishment and excommunication is far worse. We also learned that nidui, which is the worst punishment, is given on somebody who is a general, average kind of person. The most severe punishment, which is the excommunication, is given to a normal, average person. The Tzumah Merabbanan Talmid Chacham gets the lower level punishment if he preaches and does melachah on second Yom Tov. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. I'm reading the first words, page 204. Begolish shoyis and shnei yom tovim misofei. Kol ma she'os b'rishon osu b'sheni. Whatever is also on the first day, he's also on the second day. Umenadin, and we excommunicate mishum zalzel boy. Somebody is disrespectful with the second day Yom Tov, we're not as stringent. But we give Malkus. Now the Mishnah Berurah of Cotton Base mentions the halacha as follows: if Cotton Base Lemishim Zalzel Boy Mezid, we're only talking about somebody who is a Mezid, somebody does it willingly, consciously. If somebody by mistake does something on the second day, that we're not referring to that. We're talking about somebody who's bemezid. V'afilu zilzel b'bidavah shem shem shvus, and we're also referring to if somebody is mezalzel, disrespectful. That's both something which is a derabonon, or b'tchum derabon, even an iser derabonon, which is the tchum, the 2,000 amos beyond the areas one may dwell and spend time. That's even the such a derabonon, 2,000 amos outside the tchum, that's also included in the Isurim. Nami minadin also gets into Cheirem. Somebody who asks a goy to do melachas on the second day Yom Tov, that's also included in the excommunication. So again, you get excommunicated if you do a disrespectful action on second day Yom Tov. This includes also if you ask a goy to do melachas on your behalf, which we know is an Issur Rabbanon, that is also included in the zilzul, which would be punished in such a way. Now continues the Mishnah Berurah with the following interesting halacha. It appears in the poskim, says the Mishnah Berurah, that second Yom Tov is more stringent than first day Yom Tov. Why? The Yom Tov Rishon, that when it comes to the first day, Eminadin Rak Be'Ovral Issa D'Raisa. On the first day Yom Tov, we only excommunicate somebody who is over on a Torah transgression. But if somebody is merely over on a Drabonon, Eminadin Oysa, you don't excommunicate. Rak Be'Ovral Issa D'Raisa. Aval Shuz Drabon, Eminadin Rak Malkin Oysa Makas Mandus. Masha Enke B'Yom Tov Sheni, as opposed to on the second day Yom Tov. So here comes a fascinating rule. On the first day Yom Tov, if somebody does an Issa D'Raisa, gets excommunicated, if it's Bemezit, and if he does the Rabbanon, we leave him alone. Hashem will see to it, but as far as the Bezdin is concerned, you only punish somebody who's over on Issa D'Raisa. That's the first Yom Tov. Second day Yom Tov, however, is different. When it comes to second day Yom Tov, even somebody who does an Issa D'Rabbanon, obviously Issa D'Raisa, but even Issa D'Rabbanon, he gets excommunicated. So here comes a riddle question that you can be asked. In what way is second day Yom Tov more stringent than first day Yom Tov? That's the answer. So if you ever get bored and you sit next to a kind of person, you can't speak about the weather, you've run out of conversation topics, COVID-19, lockdown, all the conversation topics, you've run out of all the topics, you can like say, listen, I've got a good question, in what way is Yom Tov Sheni worse than Yom Tov Rishon? And that is going to be the answer. That on second day Yom Tov, we excommunicate for the Rabbanon, on the first day only for the Raisa. Here you go. Now, pardon? Thanks. Yeah, okay. Good. Now, I want to also point out something else which is interesting, that the Mishneh Berurah adds later on, that nowadays, what about nowadays, 2020, based in really, we know the power, unfortunately, of the Baal Tedinim is very weakened, and the authority of the Beis Din nowadays is very weak and poor compared to what we had even in the Middle Ages and a few hundred years ago. It's very, very weak. The koyach to actually excommunicate is very schwach. I remember one case when I was a child that the Baal Tedinim in Switzerland excommunicated somebody. But it's extremely rare. They don't really do it. It's so rare and so difficult. So what about nowadays? Can you really, what happens if there's somebody that keeps his shop open on second Yom Tov? What do you do nowadays? So Mishneh Berurah over here says, in the end of Sifkot and Beis, he says, he says that could be im lo hakelo be malkus el hakmelo benidui. He says actually shus biot ma filin la doise. What appears from the words of the Mishneh Berurah is that the Beis Din has got its own even if they can't actually excommunicate, or they cannot actually give lashes, makas matus that we've mentioned as well, if these options are not really available for them, they may wish to do something else. I saw recently a interesting collection of psokim of Abraham Isaac Gojinski, who was the absolute ultimate posik between the wars. And it's interesting that he speaks about the people who don't keep Shabbos and have the shops open on Shabbos and all that. And then the discussion over there is if the Beis Din can proclaim that Yidden shouldn't buy a particular shop as a takon of the Beis Din, because this individual has got his shop open on Shabbos. So therefore, the Beis Din says one shouldn't purchase there. So he says something fascinating. You can see the guts of Abraham Oizer. He said that in theory they have got the power to do that. They should do that. In principle, it's something which they can use. He says you're not sure it's always advisable, because sometimes you're pushing people further off and further off, and it might not be worth it. He said every case is to be judged in its own right. But what I'm bringing out from there is that what the Mishneh Berurah says over here, if excommunication is not an option and lash is certainly not an option, then the Beis Din may wish to do other actions, which is also within remit. So don't look at the Shulchan Aruch in a limited scope. That's what the Beis Din can do. If somebody is over on second day and he's mezalzel boy, that's all they can do. These are the two tools they have. No. So the Mishnah says if they want to do something else, they may wish to do so. That's what the Beis Din is entitled to do. That I want to point out, which is something which is interesting, that in the historical kind of tshuvas, we find very often, one of the first things that the reform movement attacked, and one of the first things that the maskilim and one of the and third generation, very often was one of the first things that they actually breached, was a second day Yom Tov, because in so many ways it doesn't really make, well, I can't say it doesn't make sense, but you can understand why that's something which they would attack, because we have Kodeh Luach nowadays, and we know when is Rosh Chodesh, we know when is first day Pesach, we know when is first day Sukkot, we know when is Shavuos, we've got the Luach, so why do we keep a second day? So as we discussed yesterday, Minhag HaVseinu B'Yadeinu, which is purely traditional, and the other reason is that we keep because of the potential chashash that might happen again, Chas V'Shalom. So these are all very distant kind of, for the reform movement to accept that and to absorb that, that's something which was unacceptable for them. Therefore, that's something which attacked, and that's why we find very often in the poskim they took the second day Yom Tov with all the chumras. We're going to see in Seif Beis there are certain kulas on the second Yom Tov, but the poskim on the whole wouldn't actually accept those kulas, because they're very concerned if you leave it a little bit then it's going to go all the way, so they had to be mechazakit a little bit. So that's a historical additional information which we're going to appreciate after the Seif Beis as well. Ein chiluk ben rishon lesheni. In principle, there is no difference between rishon lesheni, as we just discussed. Shulchan Aruch Seif Aleph said there's no difference between first and second Yom Tov. Ela only Leinian mace with regards to a mace. This is something which is relevant for Jonathan, our very esteemed Jonathan, which is that very topic. About a mace, what happens if somebody dies and you want to bury him on the second day? Is there differences between the first and second day? I do recall, I believe, Jonathan, what, could it be that you were, were you on in the Shia 7 years ago? Were you on? I do remember saying something. Pardon? Yeah, I think that, yeah. So we'll look at it in greater detail in Mitzvah Hashem. That's one of the differences. Also with regards to a medical procedure, which is called Likhol Esa'ayin, which is a refuah for the eyes. The Ramah adds that it says actually it's not just talking about a medical aspect of eye illness. In fact, any other illness, which has no danger. So this is also something which we're going to see. Besides the element of burying a nifter on a second Yom Tov, which is different than the first Yom Tov, there's another difference, another exception, and that is how you treat a chole she'ein bo sakon. Obviously, chole she'yesh bo sakon, if there's a danger, as we know, we do pikuach nefesh, everything, you have to do whatever you want, even on the first day, second, it makes no difference. But when it's a chole she'ein bo sakon, there's clearly no danger involved, i.e., an eye infection, which is not dangerous, or severe headache, or things like that, which is clearly no danger, but it's a chole is unwell, she'ein bo sakon. There's also different between first day and second day. More details on that later. And so what is it? For Afalpi, and although she also berishin of early day any hudim any boy sakana, although you are not allowed to do a itzad rabbanon with regards to chole she'ein bo sakana. The only thing you're allowed to do is treatment through goy. We will speak about that. But sheni muta afilo ledi soil through yid. On second yom tov, it's even permitted through a yid. Chutz miyom tov sheni shel Rosh Hashanah, excluding the second day. Second day of Rosh Hashanah, the shnei yomim k'tusha achaz richten, because the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not considered second day. Are not considered second day of Rosh Hashanah, as we will mention, as we have mentioned. Rosh Hashanah is not considered a second day Yom Tov because it's considered Kedusha Achas, one long Kedusha, and therefore we don't look at it as one day and second day, we look at it as Kedusha Achas. We will discuss that again in Mitzvah Hashem. Now, this is only referring to so the medical procedure which is mikhal eina. We'll explain it shortly. But if it's a proper av melacha, now this is really referring to a very important discussion. Let's get this clear. There is a discussion. What exactly is permitted with regards to a chole she'ein bo sakana on Shabbos? What are you allowed to do? There is various rishonim. There's various rishonim what is permitted to do and what is also to do with regards to a chole she'ein bo sakana on Shabbos. The opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is like the Ran, who holds that an issa d'rabbanon is permitted to do for chole she'ein bo sakana. But certainly when it comes to a amir l'noch, he can ask a goy to do a malacha for you for chole she'ein bo sakana. What would that be? If you ask a goy to do something, will be an example. You ask a goy to do something for chole she'ein bo sakana. Say a person's got a spitting headache. He needs to go to the shop to get some. He needs to go to the pharmacy to get paracetamol. You're allowed to ask the goy to get it for you. Amir l'nochi for chole she'ein bo sakana is okay. Or any other amir l'nochi is fine. Now, besides that, there is a discussion. What about general isur d'rabbanon? This is the machlokes rishonim. The Ramah over here is of the opinion you can actually do for chole she'ein bo sakana any isur d'rabbanon. Any Yisrael Rabbanon you can do from not just Amir Lenochi, but in fact any Yisrael Rabbanon is fine. As to whether we pass in like that in Hilcha Shabbos is a discussion there, which we actually discussed in Jin Chav Ches. When it comes to Hilcha Yom Tov over here, we have that yes, on the second day Yom Tov, you may do an Yisrael Rabbanon such as Amir Lenochi, but not just Amir Lenochi, all the Yisur Rabbanon as well, for the sake of a Chodesh and Pesachana, on the second day Yom Tov. Which would mean that you're allowed to let's look at Mishnah Berurah Sifkoton Hay. Such as he's got an eye pain, so we're talking about the medical procedure with regards to his eyes, but generally his health is okay, and he's not generally considered unwell. It's just that specific illness on the eye. You're not allowed yourself to do any refuah. However, on the second day, this would be something which is permitted. Even without a shinui. So here it comes. An Issa de Rabbonon is permitted on Yom Tov Sheni. Second Yom Tov, you're allowed to do an Issa de Rabbonon for the sake of a chole she ain't by Sakona. The big exclusion to that is what the Mishnah Berurah said in Sifkoton Ches. Also, Israel, v'afilu chosh b'chol gufo inami also haratzmav. However, here comes the exception to the rule. Kosa be'isa v'hetad isa het writes odom anoyfel oy nogu finitzra adom b'mkoy b'niflosu nigivosoy en chosh v'apnimi. Here comes the crucial words. Here are the crucial words. If you can wait until tomorrow, until danger. So, here, let's get this clear. You are allowed for a chole she'ein bo sakona to be over on an issa de rabbanon. One example for that is Amir Lenochi. To get a goy, to get a paracetamol in the shop, his mutter, although you're not in danger, you can ask a goy to do an issa de rabbanon. You're allowed to ask a goy to get paracetamol for you on Shabbos, on Yom Tov Sheni. Similarly, you'd be allowed to do an issa de rabbanon yourself. So if you do, I don't know what a good example would be, to take a goes off to put cream on in a drabonon way, to use a medical something which is in a drabonon way, is permitted for on Yom Tov Sheni if it's a cholish and by zakana. What is important to note is what we just saw now in the Mishnah Berurah. The exception to that is if you can wait for tomorrow, if you can wait until Motzei Shabbos without further danger, without further complication, then you must wait until Motzei Shabbos. So it's not blanket heta. You can just do any Sidra Bonon on Shabbos. No, you can't on Yom Tov Sheni. No, you can't. You can do an Sidra Bonon on Yom Tov Sheni for Chole She'ein Bo Sakana if it cannot wait until Motzei Shabbos. If the pain is so, if it's serious enough that you can't wait until Nacht, you may do that. But if you can wait a couple of hours and nothing will happen to you, then one must do so. Here's an important element. I'm just thinking for all the examples within this maybe Mutter. I'm just trying to. Can somebody help me out? Yom Tov Sheni and Issa de Rabbanon Yom Tov Sheni for Chole She'ein Bo Sakana. What would be an example? Squeeze out a. That's probably the Rabbanon, perhaps. Yeah, the Pshimon. I'm trying to think of something contemporary. What is the Rabbanon we do? In the Rabbanon way, which would be permitted. on Yom Tov Sheni, what kind of medical things do we do? What kind of darbonos do we do? What kind of darbonos? Trying to think, I can't think of an example, but the point is, if it's an Issa darbonon, that would be mutter on second day Yom Tov, with that was something which would be awesome on the first day Yom Tov, second Yom Tov, to do an Issa darbonon for Chol Hashem Zakone is mutter, as long as it's something which cannot wait until Motzei Shabbos. Right, okay, so this is with regards to Chola. The other exceptions of the other differences between first day and second day Yom Tov, which is a mace, which is well, primarily mace and other points with regards to cholim, that will be discussed in elsewhere. Okay, gentlemen, to recap what we learned this evening, we spoke about nidui, which is the most severe level of punishment, excommunication, which is given to somebody who doesn't keep and is disrespectful to second the Yom Tov. We learned that Besin has got other powers if they need to do something about it. This is only with regards to somebody who's made it. Somebody does it by mistake. He wouldn't qualify for such a severe punishment. And we also learned this is a difference between first day and second day, that a second day is more stringent than the first day. Because on first day you only do that for the Reises, on second day you also punish the Rabbonons. Then we learned that there's differences, lekulim, leniencies on the second day, and the example given over here is with regards to refuah on second Yom Tov. Refuah generally is permitted on second Yom Tov, that we hold that a Rabbonon is mutter. To do an Issa Rabbonon is mutter on the second Yom Tov, first day it's not mutter. It's also on the second day, you're allowed to an Issa Rabbonon for Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. An example given over here is a medical procedure, which is a Rabbonon, which would be permitted if it's a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana and it cannot wait any longer. Right, that's it for this evening. Okay, I wish you good evening.